This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
In a Wim Wenders film, a tender young woman has a dour philosopher friend. When she goes to him brightly to announce her pregnancy, the philosopher reacts in horror, and he says something like, How could you bring a child into this troubled world? As the economy and fossil fuels and climate change worry us all, more young people are asking themselves this question. Maybe they will become ginks. To explain that, we have Lisa Hymas, the Seattle-based co-founder and senior editor of GRISP, the progressive online magazine. Lisa, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thanks, Alex. Nice to be here.
Well, please tell us, what is a GINK?
Sure. GINK is an acronym that I came up with to describe myself. It stands for Green Inclinations, No Kids. And I just wanted to get people talking about the choice to be child-free. There's still a strong assumption in our society that all of us will or should become parents. And, you know, considering the environmental impact that each additional person, particularly each additional North American, brings, I think it's worth talking about whether we should all be having kids.
And about a year ago, you published the GINK Manifesto. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, I did. It was kind of my way of coming out and saying that I'm child-free and that, you know, explaining my reasons. And certainly the environment was part of my thinking, but not the only reason. I have a busy career, a busy life. I'm happy with things as they are, and I don't feel the need to have kids. So in my case, not having children was actually an easy thing that I could do to help the environment. You know, I think often making the green choice can feel like a sacrifice or a hassle or an expense. In this case, for me, it feels like a really nice, positive choice for myself that also happens to be good for the planet.
Well, let me get a stupid question out of the way. Do you have something against parents or cute little kids?
No, and thank you for asking, because I want to make that clear, that I definitely think that for a lot of people, being parents is the right choice, and I totally respect that. You know, my own friends and family members who have kids, I'm excited for them. I'm happy to be involved in their kids' lives. I love to dote on my nieces and nephew. I just want, the same way that society supports parents, I just want them to support the child-free as well.
I suppose we do have to get past that Victorian label of the spinster. Nobody wanted it. They were told they would be useless and alone, and we don't say spinster anymore, but are there new labels, and where are the social pressures on women to get busy reproducing?
Well, you know, there are a lot of pressures. I think a lot of it comes from our families and friends. As soon as we start getting a little bit older, it's like, when are you going to get married, and then when are you going to have a kid, and then when are you going to have the next kid? But there's also a lot of pressure in popular culture. You know, if you read the celebrity tabloid magazines, they're always showing pregnant celebrities looking glamorous and their kids looking stylish. And, you know, there's sort of a cult of fashionable motherhood. But I've been seeing some trends this past year pointing in the other direction. We have a few celebrities and people coming out and saying, you know, I've decided not to have kids, and that's the right choice for me. And a couple of them have even mentioned the environment as a reason for that. The actress Cameron Diaz and the actor Vincent Kartheiser, who's on Mad Men. So, and, you know, Oprah is probably the most famous child-free person out there. She's certainly an influential voice. So I think we're sort of starting in the culture to ask the question or create a little bit more space for people who do things differently.
How does not having a child compare with other carbon reduction schemes? Is it fair to ask that question?
Sure, it's a fair question. I mean, I'll say right at the front that I don't think anybody's worth is measured by their carbon impact. So, you know, that doesn't mean that parents who have kids are doing a bad thing. But, you know, there is an environmental effect. So there was a study done in 2009 by some statisticians at Oregon State University. And they concluded that for each child that an American has, it will increase their lifetime emissions by about 5.7 times, or 570%. That's basically because you have a kid, and they're going to grow up and be like you and consume energy and, you know, consume products, and then they'll probably have kids of their own. So the repercussions do go through the generations. And these same researchers also, you know, they put it that you know, choosing not to have a child is about 20 times more effective than some of the other things that you might do in your life to save energy. So whether that's like driving a more eco-friendly car like a Prius or changing out your light bulbs or switching your diet to be lower impact.
Well, you've just made a man named Jack Alpert very happy. He's an engineer who is saying that we can never under-consume our way out of this crisis, that really population is the key, and we've just got to cut back our population. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think we need to consider both sides of the equation. I mean, you know, environmental impact is, in a sense, the number of people times their level of consumption. I think we need to work on both of those figures. Now, in North America, North American uses far more energy and resources than someone in a developing country. So we have a much bigger impact, and it's incumbent on us more to reduce our consumption. So the average American has a carbon footprint that's about 200 times bigger than the average Ethiopian. So consumption certainly plays a role in it, for sure.
Well, beyond the environment or population, you've talked about real benefits of staying child-free. Could you talk about that?
Sure. Well, one of the interesting things that I've found as I've been talking to and hearing from other people is that a lot of child-free people actually work with kids and find that they have the energy to bring to their jobs because they don't have kids at home. So that includes a lot of school teachers, people who work in at-risk youth programs. I have one friend actually who works in hospice with children who are dying. That's a really intense job, and she's doing something really important, but she feels like she wouldn't have the energy and sort of the mental stability to do that if she had kids of her own. So I think that people who are child-free can find a lot of other ways to give back to society. I mean, on a self-focused level, you might have more time to put into your career or your personal relationships or your hobbies or just relaxing, even just sleeping. You know, being a parent, as any parent will tell you, is a very intensive endeavor, and I totally respect parents for taking that on. But I just want to encourage everybody to think before they have kids so that children are a choice or a decision and not an assumption.
Right. I think we need room for perhaps a new class of woman, but I think there's also a question in the back of people's minds. They say to themselves, can a woman be complete without experiencing birth and child raising?
Right. I mean, and there are some people who say you can't. I guess I would strongly disagree with that. We all lead different paths in life. We experience some things and we don't experience others. And I feel like by choosing this path for myself, yes, I am going to be missing out on some things. I'm missing out on a lot of the experiences that parents have, but I will get to experience other things, whether that's spending time, writing for myself or reading or traveling or maybe nurturing the relationships in my own life. And, you know, this is something, what I've been interested to find out as people have been communicating with me is a lot of men connect with this too. I mean, these days, you know, a number of decades ago, men weren't that involved in child rearing necessarily. These days they are. So men need to think hard about this too, about whether they feel like they have the energy and the desire to be a good involved dad before they go down that path.
And there's kind of a double standard in the media. I noticed the criticism of Supreme Court Associate Justice Elena Kagan, and you've written about this.
Yes.
And it seems sort of like almost a veiled attempt to maintain male dominance by making sure that career-oriented women feel guilty or should get rerouted through these family duties.
Yeah, I feel like there are a lot of unfair expectations placed on women, and it's sort of, if you're not a mother like Elena Kagan, you could get criticized as not being, you know, not having empathy, not really knowing what it's like. But then again, if you are a mother, you can be criticized for not paying enough attention to your kids while you're out in the workforce. So, you know, I want to help us bust through all of that and accept women's choices, whatever they are.
This is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith. Our guest is senior editor at Grist Magazine, Lisa Hymas, and we're talking about GINCs, Green Inclined, No Kids. Lisa Hymas, you are certainly not alone. According to the Pew Research Center, about 10% of older women didn't have kids in the 1970s, and that has doubled to nearly 20% of child-free women now. So I guess what is missing is that voice that you're attempting to provide, like, let's come out of the reproductive closet and assert a new class of womanhood. Would you agree?
Right. That's definitely what I want to do. Those are some pretty impressive statistics that I think might surprise a lot of people, that maybe one out of five women won't end up having a child. That's a lot of us, but it's still something that we don't talk about that much out in the culture. So that is what I'm trying to do, just get us to talk about it, let women women or men know that they're not alone when they make this choice. I've heard from a lot of people who said, thank you so much for writing about this, for talking about this. I have felt really alone, and it's great to know that I'm not the only one.
And it's strange, after the supposed liberation that happened in the 70s, that here we are in 2010 saying, well, it's okay not to have kids. How did we get there?
I don't know. It is ridiculous that it's been this long, but we still have these expectations. I think, they're just built into the culture, and they're hard to get rid of. I like to think that we're gradually changing minds and getting there, but I think it's still going to be a little while before being child-free is as normal as being a parent.
Are you having fun with the Gink thing, or people connecting with it?
Oh, yeah. I've definitely had a lot of fun with it. I've had a lot of responses from people, and I've had some positive and negative responses from parents, but some of them have been positive. They said, I thought about these things before I had a kid. I totally understand where you're coming from. A few months ago, one woman who also writes for Grist sometimes, she recently had a baby and contacted me and said, hey, let's write a piece together about how ginks and parents can get along, how we can all support each other in our decisions. So we wrote up a sort of a fun little piece about what to say or what not to say to folks in the other camp, sort of facilitate conversation and open this up.
And where do you see this going?
I guess I just hope that more and more of us will be talking about it. And I think this is a great year to do it, because the world population is poised to hit 7 billion this fall. That's a lot of people. And it's about time we started talking more about the impact of population growth.
Well, you raise a really serious point, and I think it's, how can activist women help beyond not having a child? How can we help stop this tide of overpopulation that threatens our happiness and our planet? Do you have some suggestions on that?
Sure. One of the biggest things, I definitely don't support any coercive policies or anything like China's one-child policy. We don't need that. I mean, the first and most important thing we need to do is make sure that all women everywhere have access to contraception and to family planning services. There are an estimated 200 million women around the world who don't have that yet, in a lot of poor countries. So, the U.S. government funds some of those programs. International bodies fund them. There's some nonprofits and NGOs that work on that. I think we need to support all of those efforts. That's definitely key. And part of it is also not only giving women contraception, but making sure that they're empowered in their own communities, in their families, that they have education, that they have economic opportunities, all of those things. Most women, when they have options, would rather have smaller families and be able to contribute some to the economic health of their families. So that's sort of the big picture answer. On a more micro level, but that's not something that, you or I can solve overnight. But one thing I did recently was write a post called 8 Things You Can Do About Population. And it was sort of looking at some of the things that we can all do in our own lives. Let's see, one of those things I mentioned was, if you're a parent, don't pressure other people to have kids. Just let them make their own decisions. I suggested that we need to improve sex education in our schools, at least certainly in America. A lot of those programs, if they have them at all, are really terrible. And I think we could all agree that it would be better to have a lower teen birth rate. So the U.S. right now, even though the teen birth rate has fallen in the last couple of years, it's still higher than in a lot of other developed countries, particularly Europe. And I think we'd all be better off if our teenagers were better prepared, better informed about how to protect themselves.
Well, how can people find your articles?
Sure. Well, on grist.org, G-R-I-S-T.org, you can search on population or search on child-free or search on my name, Lisa Hymas, and they should come right up.
This is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith, and I'm honored to have as our guest one of the pioneers of online journalism, Grist Senior Editor Lisa Hymas. Lisa, it's been fun, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.